Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome, Blog Talk Radio and YouTube.
Good morning. Welcome. Good afternoon. At home. This is only for highly paid professionals.
What are you doing?
I'm searching a good Bible word.
Oh.
All of a sudden. Come everybody can come up here.
July 2nd, yep.
It is a beautiful day in North Dakota.
As always.
Go by the field where the mooses are every now and then, but no mooses today.
No mooses today.
I think that you would actually say moose for plural, Mark, mooses, probably.
It sounds good, moose.
But if you can't spell potato or potato, it doesn't matter anyways. But, you know, the old song says, home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play. And seldom is heard a discouraging word because there's nobody around anywhere to talk to.
That's true.
And the skies are not cloudy all day. There ain't a cloud in the sky nowhere. And anyways, it's a beautiful day. You know, and you start thinking about this weekend and what we got going on. That ain't a cop, is it? This is the weekend when we celebrate our freedom and our liberty and our independence. And celebrate who we are as Americans. If you did not get to listen to last night's program, which is the July 1st program, I would encourage you to go listen to it or pull the video up by David Barton and study that. It was a very, very, very powerful session about America and our founding fathers and America's beginning. And thank God for David Barton. And I want to say something here to you about it. Because fathers and America, beginning, my verse for today, as I have thought about today, last couple of days, is in Galatians 5:1, stand fast at the liberty. We'll go to that in a minute. But if you don't know David Barton, I would encourage you to go to his website, his Facebook page, his YouTube page, and get connected. I would recommend you send it to your kids and get them connected. You and I single-handedly bring America back to our roots by sharing information on David Barton's website. When he shared last night about the fact that there's states that call him in to look at their historical curriculum and give them advice, and then I don't know if you caught it, began to share what many of the history books look like today. They don't have Benjamin Franklin, they don't have George Washington, they don't have Liberty Bell, they don't have the shot fired around the world, they don't have Pearl Harbor, they don't have D-Day. They're rewriting our history.
What exactly do they have in them?
America, this is what he said last night. America thought about bombing Pearl Harbor or bombing Japan. You have to go back and listen, because it was very eye-opening to me last night. Yet encouraging to hear that governors of states are calling David Barton and saying, help us. Talk about the necessity of obeying your call in God. My goodness sakes. Now, say one more thing, another thing about David Barton. David Barton and Wall Builders owns, now listen to this, is the largest owner of original documents. I want you to get that picture in your mind. He's not just a historian, but is one. He's not just a man of God, but he is one. But his organization is the largest owner of original documents in the United States of America. That means literally the document that was made, he owns it. And, you know, I don't know where he owns it. I don't know what, you know, I'm sure it's in a major vault somewhere where nobody can burn it down or nothing. But the value of that is you're not going to change history in his face. He knows it. And he's got the document to prove it. The original letters from Jefferson and you know, I'm sure that Brother David Barton has many times, once he started collecting, is probably contacted by historical organizations and saying, we're not going to have to close our doors, but you like these. And Brother David and however many other men and women say, yeah, we're buying, are you selling? And to think of the opportunity to be able to actually have in your possession the most honest history there is. And when you look at the word history, it is his story. The story of God. And when man tries to rewrite God's story, then the last verses of the book of Revelation begin to come to pass. Because that verse says, if you add to that book or take away from the Bible, still add to you the curses that are written in it. But it's not just the book. When people on purpose, by design, begin to change history to cover up truth, well, now you've set yourself up as an enemy of God. And, of course, that's never going to go well for you. Find yourself on the wrong end of judgment, and you know, you don't want that. But anyways, today I have been led by the Holy Spirit to go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to start there, and then we'll go into Hebrews. Our Sunday morning program is 1 hour of faith and communion. And so that's our process. Sister Ann, you still with us?
Yeah. Whoops.
Testing 1, 2,
yes.
3.
Yes. It was on a different
screen.
Do you
have the opening prayer and the pledges?
I can pull them up very quickly here.
All right. I'll just keep talking. Some people may not be used to the Pledge of Allegiance and pledge to the Christian flag and starting the service with a prayer that's written that we all pray together. But several things do this. And our ministry is the ministry to teach faith. I remember way back. I couldn't even tell you what year it would be. I don't know. First time. But I remember reading that verse of scripture in 1 John that says, this is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. And I remember then, may have been a Bible college, I'm not sure. I remember then saying, well, that Bob is the most important subject that we would ever study, that is faith. If that's the victory that overcomes the world, is having faith, what other subject are you going to give yourself to? Until you get that one down, make sure you get that one down. And, of course, that's what this morning's program is called, is 1 hour of faith and communion. And then God gave me a very simple definition, I don't know, probably 15, 18 years ago, Hebrews 11, 6. He that comes to God must believe that he, God, is, or exists, and that he, God, is the rewarder of them diligently seeking. And so it's a pretty simple process to have faith, to believe God exists. And you believe when you seek him, he will reward you. Now, you know, of course, now you just opened up a month-long set of meetings to teach that whole subject. But, you know, here's the reality. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And this deer I just found is the victory that gets me moving in this traffic. There we go. Who's up? Sorry, give me a minute to pause. Major intersection. Lots of traffic. So, are we ready for the opening prayer?
Yes, we are.
There we go.
Sharing screen right now.
So faith is the victory, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And here we go.
Here we go. Our pledge to our Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Hold on for just a second. There we go. And our pledge to our American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And our community of faith opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that lives will be changed forever by the Word of God, and that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I was starting to say that. Together like that. Gives us the ability to come together in agreement in the greatest, most powerful prayer that any of us could ever pray is the prayer of agreement, where two or three of us agree together in prayer, then God Almighty gets involved. So thank you for your agreement. Thank you for your prayer. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Can you read that for me?
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Wow. Amen. Keep going. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace.
That's good enough right there, because the verse starts off with, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, he would put up our opening screen of the set with the flag and then pull the flag.
Yeah.
As the picture, because I'm getting ready to go down a very, very bumpy road.
Okay.
And my phone usually falls off the holder. Share it home.
That's a good idea. All right.
Now, think about where you and I are. Now, Paul said there, if you go back to circumcision, then you got to abide by all that law. And, you know, he's talking about the law of circumcision and the law of grace. Faith, grace by faith, faith by grace. But think about you and me. If we go back to some other form of government, then what we have, then just like Paul said there, well, then you're going to have to live by that. And you're probably not going to like it. You're probably not going to like it.
Oh, my.
And if you think about what's going on in America today, that's exactly what's happening. There's people everywhere saying that we should become socialistic. Socialism is the right way to go. We've got Marxists and communists that are blatant, open, right here. The Communist Party has had someone on the presidential nomination on our ballots for years. That doesn't even make sense. And that's what Paul is saying to the church in, you know, then in Galatia. Do not go back there. Do not go back to that former way of bondage. Do not do it. And yet, people who have never fought for freedom, they don't know the price of freedom. There's a great statement made by that one guy that David Barton was talking about last night I'm going to mess it up. I messed it up. Anyways, for those who fought for it, freedom has a flavor the protected will never know. For those who actually fight for freedom, there's a flavor to freedom for those like that, like you and me. But other people will never know. How they'll stand and salute the flag and put their hand over their heart mostly, and at least they'll stop talking and take their hat off of the blood that's being said. And they have no idea what it means. And Paul saying, stand fast in that liberty. That means put your foot down and make a footprint and drive a stake in the ground and don't let anybody move off of it. Because there's going to be many who try to move you off of it. And the flavor of freedom has always been innocent die, so the guilty may live. That happens all the way back to the garden when the little lamb was sacrificed to make clothes for Adam and Eve. And that's our Jesus giving his life for us. And you know what? Wanted to have, this is what the straight founder said, and this is what the straight founder said, but as I was, throughout the night that night, as I was listening again to that message from David Barton, I just realized that the men of God who were pastors at the founding of this nation, they gave everybody what to believe. Right out of the Word of God. Founders believe what they believe because what the pastor preached. And when they passed a law that didn't match the Word of God, the pastor said something about it on Sunday morning. So the politician would change and take off the books. And the pastors of our day are afraid to say the word homosexual in the pulpit. Well, that's just the word police out there. It's serious. The word police is serious. There are people that have literally gone to jail because of the word they say. But Paul's telling you and I, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, you know, if you follow us on our morning prayer program, regularly we speak the preamble to the Constitution, and we pray the Gettysburg Address, and we, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and then we speak the Constitution. I'll get it right. I'm not doing anything bad for cows trying to take over my role and preach and drive all at the same time.
You're doing pretty good.
Get off my road, you crazy cows. You're like, our road before yours. Anyways, if you're not driven on a road lately that has free ranging cows, come out here. It's pretty exciting. So Paul says, stand fast in the liberty. Well, thank you, Lord, for liberty. Now, help me to stand fast in that liberty. Because I thank you, Jesus, that you set us free. And, you know, thank God we've been born again. Thank God for that freedom. But thank God for the men and women who have gone before us that have made us free here in the United States of America.
Yeah, amen.
When you look at the price that was paid, the signers of the Declaration of Independence said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to this task. Almost all of them gave their life in battle. All of them gave their fortune, see it come to pass. And for sacred honor, lived on with us today, those of us who truly believe in America and have not allowed ourselves to be indoctrinated by some false theology from her false philosophy, not theology, false philosophy from around the world somewhere. Now, you and I got to think about it. How do we pledge our lives? How do we pledge our fortunes? How do you and I pledge our sacred honor? Because why would it be only left up to the originals to do that? Or the great generation, the World War II vets? It's not. And as soon as you and I can teach everyone around us, we have a price to pay. I mean, if you think about the price that you and I have to pay, really, literally, all it is to be faithful every day, to get up, number one, pray for America, forgive us of our sin, and heal our land. But then the next thing is just be a good American. That's all you got to do is be an honest, good American. And you will do your part in history, and you'll fulfill your duty. You know, I always remember as a kid saying, as a young adult, saying, have all these friends, and everybody has served in the military, and now I get to serve in the military, and I gave my life to you, Jesus. But that would have been an interesting experience. And then I began to say, what have I ever done for my country? And, you know, I really haven't done anything for my country. Well, that's not true, because I was always a patriot. I was very patriotic. Always honored the troops. Always was very willing to stand and honor the flag and stop anybody from dishonoring the flag. And you know that's our place. Now I want to talk some more about that, but right now I got to get out and open my box. So I'm going to ask Mr. Leanne Reed. From Hebrews, from the book of Hebrews. Right there, Bob, I guess I better ask that question.
Yes.
All right. Those of you that are a part of our program, appreciate your prayers. This evening's dad has come to live with us. I want you to read from Hebrews 11, verse 30, and then down through 12, verse 2. Hebrews 11, 30 through 12, verse 2.
All right. Hebrews 11:30, by faith they overcame. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's skins and goat skins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, I'm on Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No. You're here.
That Bible verses are saying to us. All the heroes of faith. Word of God heroes. All of those people went through some very, very, very serious circumstances. And then, of course, you know, the Bible there. All of the things that happened. When you think about the founding of this great nation, you must not say within yourself that you have gone through any of that. But there's a lot of people in our nation that went through things like this. Not too many stonings here, or sawn in two. But many, many people have given their lives for our freedom and our liberty. And I think back often during the pilgrims that were at Plymouth Rock and how they had suffered severely that winter, the first winter, and had, I think that the statement is that they were literally rationed down to 7 kernels of corn a day. That was your food. That's pretty serious. I'd pay a serious price. And I don't know. I know I have it in my notes somewhere, and I really wanted to have it and have all this available for you, and then I got a little bit. Anyways, could you pull up the Mayflower Compact? Just pull it up off the internet, well, so that we can read that.
Yep, give me just a minute.
All right, just let me know when you get it. Here's the reality behind that. It's why I'm doing this today. These were people of faith. I know, you know, in the Bible we talk about, you know, Peter, James, John, and Paul, and all those guys. But when it came to this nation, to build a nation dedicated to the things of God, people face the exact same issues and the same serious persecution that the people in the Bible experienced. And what There's a price for every one of us to pay. You and I right now are paying a price for freedom. And if you're part of our organization, our price that we're paying is we're being grateful every day right now for the last 3 years to have a daily program. Now you might say, well, Pastor,
of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, and having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereof do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient of the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience.
Now, let's go back up to the top. He said, for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. And then, when you go to what Robert Hunt said, that dedicated the land to the glory of God and the spreading of the gospel to all the world. That was his statement that he made. Well, his founding father that in 1620 at Cape Henry said that very statement. Dedicated the land to the glory of God and to the spreading of the gospel to all the world. Well, now, you know, we saw Brother Dutch shared this probably a few weeks ago now, that not far from Henry Henry, Pat Robertson had his 700 book, Christian Broadcasting Network. And Pat Robertson was a direct descendant of Robert Hunt, and literally from almost the same geographical location, Pat Robertson spread the gospel to the whole known world that Jesus is Lord and he can believe for a miracle. Now, what we can see just by using this figure, just by using this history, reading these words, saying what the Bible says, we can see that God's never lost one day in his life. Never once. Never. Never once in the history of time has God ever lost to the enemy. He's not losing now. What it comes down to is whose voice are we listening to? Now, you can go out today and hear horrendous news about this world, because in this world there is a serious amount of horrendous news every day. Serious amount. But you can also go out today and give good news about what's going on in this state of the world.
Amen.
And the difference is, what are you looking for? And what are you trying to get accomplished with the news that you're getting? Because the bottom line is, Jesus is Lord. He's not falling off his throne because there was a communist somewhere. Never once. And he don't care whether Putin and the terrorist is working for him. If they did, then he mocks them this morning. He mocks them. He made a mockery of Putin this last week. A week ago today, when that man just made his push toward Moscow and nothing was going to stop him, God laughed at him and made a mockery of him. And when we read the book of Ezekiel, God's going to do it again. God said, I'm going to set a hook in your jaw, and I'm going to drag you and all your folks out of the north, and then I'm going to bring shame. And my name will be glorified. Not because he created them for destruction, but because they refused to submit to his ways. You think about the day we live in. We have a choice. And that's why, if you follow us and you're part of our morning prayer program every day, that's why we play Brother Dutch Sheets and giving 15, because he's always going to continually be giving us something that says God is on the move. God is speaking to his people. He's giving us dreams, visions, revelation. And we should continually be seeking for him. See, the unbelievers, Peter, Paul, that wrote the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 says, looking on, or, since we have been since we're surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race of patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it. Jesus is the one. He's the head of the church. He's the one that told them to come here. He's the one that author and the finisher of our faith. And now, the verse at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 states that these all died having not seen the completion of their faith. You know, George Washington and Adams and Franklin and all those guys, you know, they got to see the beginning of America. But that was a long ways away from the completion of America when Jesus returns and we're all captured, we're all gathered up in heaven and to a glorious homecoming with Jesus and the Father. And you know, where are we at? We're about 250 years now, every 76, or 26 will be 250 years. We're almost at 250 years of being a nation. Now, when you put all that together, you realize God has his hand in the affairs of men. Benjamin Franklin said it. He said, Pharaoh that falls from the sky is seen by his watchful eye. A nation is not going to be lifted up or fall down without our God Father knowing it. And you and I have a place in American history. No way out there. You might not think your position in our nation is of great importance, but I'm going to tell you right now, God thinks your position in our nation is of great importance.
Amen.
God looks at you as one of the key members. And as we learned this last week, every blade of grass is important in a grassroots process. And that's what Jesus is all about. And that's what our Father is all about. It's that you and I realize that to every one of us, grace was given. Hebrews chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. To every one of us, grace was given. What are we doing with that grace? I don't remember which one of the founders said it. I think it was Franklin. Somebody said, besides your Kennedy, somebody said, what is it giving us? And they said, a republic that you can keep it. And, you know, as Brother David Barton said last night, and he was teaching us, that the average life of a national constitution for a nation, 10 years. And thank God, our constitution has lasted longer than 17 years. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
That's good preaching. That's what I know. That's why I did it, because it was good preaching. Now, you might be like, oh, this is a different kind of 1 hour of faith and prayer today. Well, it might be. I'm more sober condition of America that I've ever met. And yet I'm more confident in our ability to make it. Did that make sense how I said that?
Yeah, absolutely it did. And I feel the same.
You know, I there was a period of my life where I would have been, whoa, we're in bad shape. We cannot make this. No, we're gonna make it. We're going to make it. But we're not gonna just make it. We're going to try. And it takes every one of us renewing our mind to the things of God and the ways of God. Give me just a second here. Can you mute my camera, love? I've got to hold my phone in my hand, and I don't want any freaking people out here. There we go. Cannot start your video because the host has disabled it. Good for you. Now, just give me a second here. I gotta check something. What am I speaking to? Oh, I'm speaking to the fact of I'm more confident today than I've ever been of our place in God and the fact that God's working. Think about this. Long before 9/11, and long before, and then it doesn't matter. You can just go right back through all of the events that's gone on around the world. Long before any of that happened, God had somebody praying for the United States of America that we would make it. And now, this last month in May, we could visibly see, you know, if you was online and following with Mike Bickle and the House of Prayer, you could visibly see that there was 100 million people praying around the world. Now, when we now have the ability to see that many people that have come together to pray for God to move in this day, well, that just says one thing. No matter what goes on, there's crimes against humanity right now are severe and they're horrible, they're wicked. The greater the martyrdom, the farther the gospel goes, the greater it spreads, the deeper the commitment that these people have. And so I think my greatest word to all of us today is, what is it that God has given you to do on this earth? What is your position that he's given to you to fulfill in the establishment of America? Because they gave us a republic if we can keep it. The only way it'll be kept is if you and I are doing our part to keep it. That's the election that's coming up. It's not time for us to say, when do we have to be serious about it in the future? It's time right now for you and I to get very serious about it and say, help us, Lord, right now to be found standing in the gap, making up the hedge, and doing our part. And you're connected to a group of people today here at the Community of Faith that is going to stand in that gap and make up that hedge until Jesus comes. Because we found our place.
Amen.
We have found our place in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we are going to have, I want to pray and be done. Pray and move into communion. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help every one of us see our place. Most of our listeners that we know are people that 50 years and above, 50 years old and above. Help us to not sit on the sidelines and just watch. If nothing else, I must be faithful to prayer. Help us be faithful to the plan of God, the ways of God. Help us here at the Community of Faith, rebuilding the walls of righteousness here. Stand in the gap, to make up the edge, to stand and pray for the leaders and pray for good people to be in every part of our government, from the dog catcher to the President of the United States. Help us be faithful and live in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, we know you hear our prayer. No, that's not right. Anyways, this is the right verse. This is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And since we know you hear us, we know we have the petition that we ask. And you're never going to find evil to prosper. You're always going to care for your children. And our hope, our faith, is in Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we trust in you today, Jesus. You are guiding in the affairs of this great nation. And there is nothing or no one who has anything on you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we have 1 hour of faith and then communion. So next is communion. And I have to sign out of Zoom for a minute. I've got to get this logo clear. It's not on the clear. So, Mr. Man is going to read the communion verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And while she does that, I'm going to do the supernatural act of leaving and coming back in a matter of 1 minute. You will not see me go, and you will not see me come back to me. I'm kind of a speeding bullet. David said we can leap over a wall. I just got my camera off so you can't see it. And we'll receive communion. We'll be out about our way. Hopefully you're enjoying the holiday weekend. This is the time when we celebrate the liberation and stand fast into liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I declare these wicked people that think they're going to bring communism on us, Jesus, help them turn from their wicked ways.
Yes.
Well, most of all, you're fired. Get out of our offices.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And we are the liberating force of America. We are we the people. Well, love. Tell me when you're ready.
I am ready.
I will be on my way.
I am ready.
Like you do, I'll shut everybody else up, too. All right, thank you. Here we go.
Here we go. These are the verses, communion verses. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll be reading from verses 23 to 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, which is his redemptive work, the price for buying us back, until he comes. Verse 28. You know what? Let's read verse 27 too. We usually don't emphasize on that, but it is important to know. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we do not recommend you take communion, because that would be receiving the communion in an unworthy manner. You're trying to receive communion, partaking of the communion without receiving him as your Lord and Savior, and you just can't do that. Or someone also, I know Paul had rebuked some people for just going into the church for having, you know, to have something to eat and drink, and it wasn't in remembrance or honor of what Jesus did for us. So that's what that verse talks about, verse 27. Now, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And by examining ourselves, that means realizing that we were sinners and we need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not realizing that what you're doing is honoring and remembering what Jesus did for us. Verse 30, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So that's what they're talking about in verse 27. You don't want to receive communion as if it means nothing and without knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. In verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So coming to this realization on our own, we don't have to be judged by anyone else. And then let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And now let's talk about the prayer of salvation. If there's anyone with us now or in the future that sees this recording that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this prayer we will pray with you. I have it pulled up on the screen so we can all say it together. This prayer will cause you to be saved and born again. This is not a light decision to make. This is a decision, a wonderful decision to make. There's no reason to wait. This will change your life here on earth, and this also is a decision for your eternity. If you have any questions, if you've been thinking about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you've not yet made that decision because you have questions about it, please contact us. Our contact information will be in the notes in YouTube after the program, and you can also go to our website, which is Samuel J. Cottle. And it's the Community of Faith website, and our contact information is there. Email Pastor. He would be so glad to answer any questions you have or any questions about walking out a new life as a Christian. The biggest thing is receiving Jesus. There's no reason to wait. You shouldn't wait. We don't know when he's going to be coming back for us, and you want to be saved and born again before that moment happens. So let's say this prayer of salvation together, and you can receive Jesus as your Lord in life, and then you may also receive communion with us. And even if you've prayed this prayer of salvation 1,000 times and you already know you're saved and born again, it's a wonderful thing to do it again. It's a refreshing to your spirit and soul, so please feel free to pray this prayer along with us. So here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and that you died and rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. Hallelujah. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Whoops. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, please contact us and let us know you've received Jesus. And we welcome you into the kingdom of God. We welcome you into the family of God. We're so grateful to have you with us. And now you're free to receive communion with us. We're going to say that I have the communion prayer up here. If you have your elements, try to, on a regular basis, have a cracker or bread and grape juice for your communion elements. We want to try to hold close to what Jesus shared with the disciples originally to keep that honor and sacredness to this process. If you're in a position where you just don't happen to have those, we do bless and sanctify our elements so you can in a pinch use something else. Just in general, try to keep it as sacred and honorable to what Jesus did as you can. And so Pastor, I think, is back. Do you want to take over from here, or do you want me to continue?
No, I'll just keep going.
Okay. Okay, so if you'll hold up your communion elements, and we'll pray this. Father, we thank you for these communion elements, and we bless them and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord. And now if you hold up the bread, and this is the communion prayer. Pray this with us. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today, this bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And now here's the prayer. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma, whoops, oh my goodness, is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may eat the bread. We thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for us. Now if you lift up your cup and pray this. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now receive the juice.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, as you can see, our 1 minute trip out and back didn't happen. But guess what? The blood of Jesus and his broken body, his righteousness, is always working.
Amen.
Always. Always. Never will it fail. Never one time will it ever fail us. And so, thank you, Father, for the blood. Now, we say this right here, but blood speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus. And yet the blood of every patriot that gave their life and shed their blood speaks. The blood of every martyr, anyone who's been martyred for their faith, and many have been right here in our nation. You think about the injustice that happened to the Native Americans. And we've got some serious things that were wrong in our life. And yet the blood of Jesus goes past it all and brings great life and strength and victory to us. Glory be to his name. Glory be to his name. Well, that's really all I have for today. How did we do? 1 hour of faith and communion. It's good to have you with us. Wherever you go this weekend, you see a police officer, you see the military, thank them for their service. And I know there's corruption everywhere, but there's also Jesus everywhere. And you and I never know which one of them behind that badge, behind that uniform, is the bad one or the good one. So if we honor them all because of their position, then the good ones will be blessed by our honor, and the bad ones will be corrected by our honor. And once again, you and I will be life warriors, making a radical difference right here in our own community. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless 4th of July celebration. Remember this. Be safe. Drive safe. Be alert. And yet, enjoy and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. In Jesus' name. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this, that we love you. And God loves you. Jesus is Lord. I plan on showing several more videos of our founding fathers, something I've never shown before. So, if you have the ability to be with us,
I have to go. Dad just left again.
We have the opportunity and then give you the ability to go back in history and watch it again. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, you're from a different nation. It might not be your Independence Day, but guess what? You can celebrate with us. And you can thank God that America is still free. But as with America, so goes the world. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless you. All of you that come in the future day, may God richly bless you. Put some timestamps in. We said something that really marks your life. Put the timestamp in there, and it will be a blessing to you and many others. We'll see you soon. God bless you.